Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we'll hear from Governor Evers and others in relation to the historic bipartisan $500 million shared revenue agreement he signed earlier this week, providing help for local governments. Also, Juneteenth was celebrated this past Monday. We'll hear from the president of Uniting Bridges in Eau Claire, Burl Middleton. And Melissa Walczak joins us to talk about a mental health addiction awareness benefit this Thursday night in Eau Claire. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. First off, Friday, Governor Evers delivered the Democratic radio address on the legislation he signed earlier last week, providing historic shared revenue increases for local communities, including a 20% increase in support to most municipalities statewide.
This week, I signed key portions of our bipartisan compromise on shared revenue to provide historic increases in state support for our local communities and make historic investments in our kids and K-12 schools.
Evers says,
shared revenue is one of the most significant sources of funding provided by the state to local governments.
This historic bipartisan compromise also includes more than $1 billion that can be used for kids in the classroom and increasing the low revenue ceiling by $1,000 per student while continuing to support school-based mental health services and setting aside funding to improve literacy and reading outcomes across the state.
With shared revenue being held stagnant for the last decade, local partners in every corner of our state have been forced to make impossible decisions about what essential services to fund, having to choose between paying for first responders, addressing PFAS, fixing the roads, and other critical priorities that affect the health, safety, and well-being of Wisconsinites everywhere.
The Democratic governor says,
for far too long, our local communities have been forced to do more with less. Our local partners should have the resources they need to meet basic and unique needs alike. Period. That's why our bipartisan compromise includes at least a 20% increase in support to most municipalities statewide.
Evers says he's proud
that our bipartisan compromise will not only mean historic increases in support for our local communities, but historic investments in our kids and schools across Wisconsin, too.
As for education, Evers says,
I secured $1 billion in spendable revenue for our K-12 schools and education, which means we're finally going to get our schools much-needed resources that can be used for our kids and our classrooms across Wisconsin, including $30 million for school-based mental health support and $50 million to help improve literacy and reading outcomes for our kids statewide.
Evers closes his weekly radio address by saying,
folks, this is great news for our kids, our families, and our communities. This is a win for Wisconsin. To me, increasing shared revenue has always been about doing the right thing. I'm proud of this bipartisan effort, and as we continue our work on the state budget, we'll keep working to build on this historic accomplishment to keep doing the right thing for our state.
However, not everyone is a fan of the historic bipartisan shared revenue agreement signed this week by the governor, including left-leaning Eau Claire City Council member Jeremy Greger, who gave us this reaction to the historic signing earlier in the week.
Eau Claire is kind of left behind again through this bill. I guess we're used to it at this point, unfortunately, that Eau Claire, as like a more medium-sized city, is kind of in a tough spot in the formula that they've been using historically, or at least, you know, in the last 40 years or so, and really doesn't do anything to change the dynamic or really help our city budget in a significant way. So, unfortunately, we're going to have to keep finding ways to be, you know, creative, and we... You know, we've definitely worked as hard as we can to make our budget sound, but unfortunately, the state legislature and the governor in this case, you know, I think compromised to the point that it's gonna have a noticeable impact and on a lot of communities in a positive way, but in others like Eau Claire, it's gonna really not help us very much.
Eau Claire City Council member Jeremy Greger, also critical of the shared revenue agreement as it pertains to Wisconsin's largest city.
For places like Milwaukee, you know, the policies that are associated with this bill are outright, horrible and racist as well. So that's really a problem for Milwaukee. It's a problem for our whole state as a result. But yeah, obviously there are some winners out of the deal, and like towns and they really need the support too. So I'm not gonna say they don't deserve it. But
who do you think are the winners?
you know, I think a lot of towns, you know, their budgets are often very small, and there's some, you know, there's some cities and villages that make out really well, and but they should, you know, and I just think we could have had a more equitable and a more fair approach.
You would have liked to see more than $500 million being?
Well, I think, I honestly think, more money is available. More of our sales tax revenue should, that's collected by the state, should come back to communities like Eau Claire that make up a huge, are really big generators of sales tax, and it's really not coming back to our communities under this model. But obviously there's, it's going to be a long time maybe before there's this opportunity again to take a new look at the model. So we're going to have to find ways for the city to find a way to get through it. And maybe it's going to be private philanthropy that's really going to have to step up. And, you know, we've seen that with our library. A lot of people stepped up to fund our public library. And, we might have to see that in some other areas, too.
Eau Claire City Councilmember Jeremy Gregor, Altoona City Administrator Mike Golat had a far different reaction to the historic signing.
I'm very pleasantly surprised by the both parties coming together to work on shared revenue. It's long overdue, but something, frankly, that in my career I never thought I'd see. So I am very happy that they were able to come up with a program that ties growth to the growth in sales tax, and really grateful again that they were able to come together and work to pass something that has been long overdue and been worked on for many years.
Meanwhile, Menominee Mayor Randy Kanak says the aid will help. While his city of 16,000 has been able to keep a balanced budget in recent years, Kanak says the costs are piling up, including healthcare plans for city staff, and that's not all.
Our streets and our roads really got beat up this last winter, so we're trying to fill potholes and maintain our streets. And then, of course, having a university here, having to have extra fire protection with the additional cost of ambulances and so forth.
Kanak says each town is unique in its needs, noting there's greater concern about how rural towns are faring, along with dire fiscal situation in larger cities like Milwaukee. While the agreement is bipartisan, it's been criticized on both sides for adding provisions beyond the local government funding. Kanak says cities like Menominee don't always have a stronger voice at the Capitol. He feels there's need to recognize the detailed efforts to stay economically viable, which can help the rest of the state.
What we have been fortunate to do is we were able to capitalize on our industrial and tech parks and other parts of the community, where we were able to capitalize 100% of the taxation funds to build the infrastructure for more business coming in, which feeds into the system.
Still, Kanak says the rising costs can't be ignored. He says even though the extra aid will reduce some of the budget headaches, municipalities will likely have to keep balancing their needs to keep taxes from rising too much while trying to provide services for residents. Meanwhile, Juneteenth was celebrated this past Monday, June the 19th, deriving its name from combining June and 19th. Juneteenth is celebrated on the anniversary of the order by Major General Gordon Granger proclaiming freedom for enslaved people in Texas on June 19th, 1865. They were said to be the last slaves to find out of their freedom, tied to the Emancipation Proclamation issued by President Abraham Lincoln. I spoke this past Monday at the Carson Park celebration in Eau Claire of Juneteenth with the Uniting Bridges president, Burl Middleton, and asked him to tell us a bit more about Uniting Bridges.
It is a nonprofit, obviously.
Yeah.
We are a civic group. We look at the progress in terms of racial equity, inclusion. We obviously are a charitable organization. We do volunteer work within other groups. We also put on Juneteenth, MLK, for the entire community at no charge, because again, we know that there's more to racial disparity than just, more than just racial disparity. There's economic disparities as well. So that's why I made the speech about no charge for what we have going on here.
So what? Talk about why you think it's important to celebrate Juneteenth.
Well, we were celebrating Juneteenth before it became a state holiday in 2009, and before it became a federal holiday in 2021. So we've known all along that there were people who suffered, who struggled, And as a result of that, through no fault of their own, they became disadvantaged, but they were enslaved. So we want to make sure that that never happens again. Although, keep in mind, Almar, the 13th Amendment still stands, which allows certain types of slavery. I mean, for instance, imprisonment. But when you're incarcerated, you're actually enslaved. And so that's something that we still need to continue to work on. So events like this will bring those types of things to the forefront.
Sure, and even picking that up, whether somebody would see eye to eye with you completely on that, that's certainly the case, you know, in terms of the disproportionate number of blacks that are incarcerated, right? Both in Wisconsin and across the country.
Yes, not only the disproportionate number of blacks, but also the reason for the incarceration. Things that perhaps privileged individuals would not be arrested for, blacks would be arrested for. So there's the disparity is not only in racial disparity, but like I said before, there's a certain level of toxicity that exists that, and not just about incarceration. I mean, it's not just the police. It's business owners. I mean, it's residents, neighbors, et cetera, and so forth. But this needs to be brought to the forefront, like I said before, so that all people are aware that racism, to a certain extent, still exists.
Yeah. Let you go, but I mean, do you feel like strides have been made clearly? I mean, 1865 to today, and even
absolutely.
1964
absolutely.
To today, but that there's further to go?
Absolutely. Look around you. I mean, just 100 years ago, you know, whites and blacks celebrating together would have been illegal. Not only that, but the equity in that would have been that you, as a white man, would have been held accountable for associating with something less than you and your race. And that's really just, I mean, if you think about it, it's just crazy. So, yeah, I believe that, you know, again, Juneteenth is an opportunity for us all to come together to demonstrate, not just talk about it, but demonstrate that the possibility of us all getting along together and working together as equals truly exists.
Again, Burrell Middleton, former Eau Claire City Council member and president of Uniting Bridges at the Juneteenth celebration in Eau Claire this past Monday. And finally, Melissa Walczak talks with us about the Justina Schumer Annual Mental Health Addiction Awareness Benefit for Red House of Hope coming up this Thursday night from 6 to 8 at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire. I ask Walczak to tell us more.
All right. Well, first of all, the Red House of Hope it's a nonprofit, 501c, and so it was developed back in 2020. And so really our vision is to bring hope to those struggling with mental health, addiction, poverty, and we're promoting and providing a mentorship program, referral services, and community well-being events. And we are moving into purchasing a retreat center that is just truly going to bring hope back to the community and beyond. It is for everyone to be able to use, and there's just so much more that goes along with that, but you're going to be able to get more information on that at this annual. It's going to be an annual mental health and addiction awareness benefit. And so, again, that time is June 29th from 6 to 8 p.m., and so just join us. Join us to bring hope to the community and beyond. We're going to have some testimonials on hope and healing. And then we're going to have the Eau Claire Health Department that is going to be coming and presenting to us. And really, it's going to be, what do you know about opioids, and it's recognizing and responding to opioid overdoses, safe opioid medication storage, where to dispose of unused medications. I mean, that's even your prescription medications. And so they're going to have Narcan nasal spray and fentanyl test strips and training for that. And then we want to talk more about the harm reduction vending machine. If you guys have been following the media, they were on the front page of the Eau Claire Telegram. And so, and the proceeds from this benefit will be going to the Red House of Hope for the expansion to purchase a much needed community center. And so, you can register for the event and, I can, you know, I don't know how to get that information out to you, or you just show up. You don't even need to register for it. Again, it's at Valley Brook Church on June 29th from 6 to 8 p.m.
Terrific. And who is just, for those who don't know, who is Justina Schumer and why is the event named after her?
Yeah, so the annual, the benefits, first benefit was after she passed away from a overdose. And she was a beautiful person that had an addiction. You know, she had done respite care. She had given back to the community. And so she was truly a very close family friend, like a daughter to us. And so after her passing is when the vision for the Red House of Hope came. And we then moved forward for the nonprofit 501c. And this, you know, isn't just about Justina. This is about several other families that are, you know, on our team, or you can even see the testimonies on Facebook that have lost loved ones to addiction, to suicide. And so it is an event that brought us to the community, even getting to know Michael Rambo and the Collective Choir, who we work with quite often, as well as one of the mentees that you guys will hear a testimony from. We met him at the first mental health awareness benefit that we had back in 2019.
That's Melissa Walczak speaking about the Justine Schumer Annual Mental Health Addiction Awareness Benefit for Red House of Hope. It's this Thursday night, 6 to 8 at Valley Brook Church in Eau Claire. Again, earlier on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, we heard from Governor Evers on the historic bipartisan shared revenue agreement he signed earlier in the week, providing some $500 million in revenue for our local governments. And we heard from a critical reaction to it from Eau Claire City Council member Jeremy Gregert, but Altoona City Administrator Mike Golat could not be more pleased. Also heard from Menominee Mayor Randy Knack, and on Juneteenth, Burl Middleton, the president of Uniting Bridges, joining us on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening.